Well, the month of September, it is the third week of September of the month. And as always, we find ourselves with Mayor John Hamilton in Bloomington. Thank you so much.
Good to see you, Joe.
Appreciate it. Same here. You know, I just wanted to jump in with these new scooters that you can't help but notice all around town. They're called Bird. It's an app-based scooter rental service. But the interesting part, the city knew at some point that this company might be dropping them off and tried to contact them ahead of time and to get some type of warning, but I think that's their business model. They just kind of come in, drop these scooters off, and then let cities decide from that point on. But so far, has there been much trouble with them?
Well, you're right. So this company called Bird kind of flies into your community and drops these scooters. That's their mode of operation. We did reach out to them because Bird has been around. They're in Indianapolis. They're in some other cities and around the country. And we expected they might come here, and they didn't call us before they dropped them off. So we have been in touch with them now. You know, it's interesting. It's just more of this changing mobility stuff. I mean, we have bike shares, right? Those weren't around 10 years ago, or they're certainly not like they are now. And this is a new thing, these electric scooters. They are disruptors. There are some concerns that can arise from them. Cities like us have taken different tacks on these things. A couple things I would say is, one, it's good to be a community where a company like this wants to come. They see you as a market of creative people who might use this kind of stuff, and that's good. And two, in a way, kind of the bottom line is any basic things we can do to help people move around that don't depend upon big passenger automobiles is a good thing. There can be some stress and transition and making sure we all get the right etiquette and such, and we're talking with the company about that. But it was interesting, just overnight, they pop up, 50 of these scooters are dropped in, and I've got one friend who said, I like them so much, I want to buy one. I don't want to just rent it, I want one of these things. And then others are using them.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is that they're not allowed on the sidewalks, but I did hear that they can go on the Beeline Trail, though. Is that true?
Yeah, so, you know, they're kind of the regulatory oversight of these is to be worked out. They're really meant to be on the street. They're meant to be worn with a helmet, ridden with a helmet. You can get going pretty fast and you can fall and hurt yourself pretty quickly, so that you want to be careful with them. They can be ridden on the Beeline and some other side paths. I kind of think of them like electric bicycles. Wherever they could go, these could go, power assisted bicycles. And you know, we'll be talking with City Council and talking to Bird and seeing if they need regulatory oversight different from what we have. But in the meantime, I do encourage people to check it out, try it, wear a helmet, use the streets where you can, or major trails can be used too.
So there's been a lot of news on parking the last couple of weeks too. I just wanted to get your take on what's been going on. There's this effort to make it more sustainable with the city budget, but then there's a deteriorating 4th Street garage, budget issues, but yet not wanting to maybe place all of the burden on residents. How is that balance, hopefully, in your take, gonna shake out?
Yeah, there are a number of moving parts, as you've mentioned. Kind of the overall picture of parking is coming from City Council and a parking commission, which has been looking at this on behalf of residents and some folks kind of thinking about parking. And I think I agree with the overall approach, which says, look, we want to provide for parking, but we don't want the general public to subsidize the people who use parking. We obviously want a vibrant downtown. We want parking spots available for people. But generally, we want to try to encourage people who use the parking facilities to pay for the parking facilities. So there's look at the garage, we have three public garages. All are full, basically. We have 1,500 spaces that are metered downtown. We have some surface lots. So one of the first things we're trying to do is harmonize all of those so that the hours and that the rates are understandable and consistent between them, not identical. For example, we encourage people to use the garages more who are long-term parkers, day long, multiple hours, leave the street spots more for people who are coming and going. So the pricing reflects that. The parking garage, which you referenced, 4th Street Garage, is a serious replacement issue, fix or replace. It's got a lot of deterioration. We're actually monitoring it day by day to make sure the structural soundness of that garage, which is concerning. Looking at if it should be replaced, when, it could be quite soon that we need to do that rather than put millions of dollars in for 2 or 3 or 4 years of life. So that's being looked at. I would say also, if we do have to replace that garage, it's probably better to replace it while we have a bunch of surface lots near it that can pick up the slack while it's being reconstructed. So that means move sooner rather than later with all the other stuff going on with the convention center and such.
Yeah. You know, we've heard a lot about I-69 lately.
Yes.
I don't know that there's much maybe that you can add to that, but I thought I'd at least bring it up and talk about the progress of Section 5. I know there's been a lot of talk about Section 6, too.
That is starting. Our hearts go out to Martinsville and North. They're going to be facing that. We at least can bump over to 67 if we need to get up there. So I've ridden the road several times in the last week or two. It's getting close in the main trunk line for the four lanes, if you will, two each way. They're not done. A lot of the paving's done. We're going to see, I believe, continued work on that road for the next weeks, maybe the rest of the construction season, as they stripe, as they do guardrails, as they do side corrugated, you know, putting the corrugations in and the side road, all that stuff. When I asked the question last month, when will we get to drive at speed, which will be 55 in the Bloomington immediate area and then 70 miles an hour between here and Martinsville, we don't know yet. So when will we be able to use the roadway at speed? We don't know yet. So still drive safely. Be careful. We do appreciate that it's getting close.
Do you by chance have any updates on the Fullerton Pike Phase 1 there by the Kroger, on the south side of town? That just seems to have been kind of at a standstill the last couple of months.
You know, Joe, I don't specifically. Yeah. It's a county project that they're working on. We're hoping that will get moved along. I don't know the exact timing of that. And, you know, we're going to continue to see that. That's a big project east-west. That's just Phase 1, as you mentioned, and there's more to be done down there.
And the Rockport and Tap Road, is that a city or is that
county
too?
That's a city project.
And is that on progress? I think November 10th was the original date.
That is on schedule, I believe, to get that roundabout done. I know that's been hard down on the southwest part of town. And we, use the detours. I was just down there today. It's going to be a safer intersection when it's done. And we hope that's, I think it's on schedule as under at the current time.
I have to ask about the convention center progress. It still seems to be on hold. I know everyone's kind of waiting to hear about this memorandum of understanding. Are there versions now kind of being swapped around that we don't know about, or what's going on?
It's a little frustrating. The immediate pressure is we have architects who have responded, who are ready to make their pitch and get down to the final architect selection, which is a key step. And this joint steering committee, which the MOU created, has been put on pause. In addition, I would just note that 4th Street garage is kind of related to the convention center. So all that time pressure that the city has, we really want to get this project going. We're encouraging the county to work diligently to get a draft that we can all sign. They've suggested a couple things. We had an MOU that we had in place. They want to change it in a few different ways. So we're trying to work through that. I'm confident we will. There's a dispute about the hotelier that kind of underlines the conflict right now between the city and the county, with the county wanting to go with a hotelier that they identified last year. And we believe that process needs to be opened up and redone in a better way to get the right partner. I think we'll work through that, and my hope is that steering committee, which is a joint county-city entity, will be recreated and convened finally in the short days, weeks ahead.
You know, there was a guest column in the HT from John Weikart, who's on the commission. I don't know if you had a chance to see that or not.
I'm
sure you
did.
He says, you know, the county is at a point that they really should move on with or without the mayor, but hope that you will come forward to the table so they can get this process moving. This is the conflict you just talked about with the hotel. What's your response to
that? John's a good friend. John, I respectfully disagree with his characterization of the situation. The convention center would be paid for by the city, essentially, through the food and beverage tax that comes to the city. So we will be leading that with the county to do the design together and such. But all the funding for the convention center expansion will come through city council, and city planning will approve it and all that stuff. The hotel, which is a key partner to the convention center, we don't know where the hotel will be situated. It may be situated on land that's owned by the county now. It may be situated on land that's owned by the city now. It may be land that somebody else owns right now. We don't know that. So it's just premature to determine either the location for the hotel or the hotelier itself from our perspective. The county did a process to find a partner of the hotel to help them determine whether or not a convention center could theoretically be built. And the answer is yes, it can be built. But we have multiple hoteliers, terrific ones, including one who we've already heard from, who want to do this. And the city's view is we need a good process to identify that hotelier. John believes the county did that, but it's not a county decision for the hotel. It needs to be a joint decision.
I want to get your take, too, on the proposed Griffey Lake deer call. Residents want some more data to show it's necessary. This comes up, I think, the last few years, too.
Sure.
City Council is still considering this. Is there still a deer problem?
Well, there are two deer problems. When I ran for mayor several years ago, this would come up, and I've felt the same way since then. There are two deer problems. One is Griffey Lake, and one is urban deer, as we call it. They're two very different problems. The Griffey Lake issue that we're talking about is, from my perspective, is and always should be a scientific problem. What does it take to preserve the nature preserve of Griffey Lake? And I've always said I want to let the professionals and the scientists decide if there are too many deer at Griffey, take steps that we need to. We are stewards of that beautiful nature preserve, and humans have changed the ecosystem, and we need to deal with it as we do. And that's what the city council and the parks department and the parks board overseeing it have all done. And I've agreed to let the science run that. And that will continue to take its course, and they're looking at different ways to manage the deer population there. The urban deer, the city deer, that's not really a science problem so much as it is kind of a political, sociological neighborhood issue, and that's still being looked at. I welcome views about it. There are different people feel differently depending on where they live in the city. If you're in a place with a lot of gardens and a lot of grass and a lot of greenery, you're going to have more deer than if you're in a more urban part of the city. Responses can vary and views can vary, and that's a good venue, the city council, and continued discussion about that issue.
I finally had a chance to read over the Urban Land Institute report. Uh-huh. I know it's been a little bit, yeah. I don't know how you get to all these reports and read them. There was an interesting statistic about office occupancy rate at 95%, including a shortage of supply in downtown Bloomington. And I just found that kind of fascinating, not realize how much is still, or that could be used here in downtown Bloomington. But then, we're talking about the UDO and all the different restrictions and stuff being happened to downtown. So there does seem to be a little bit of, there's a need, but yet city, council, county seem to be a lot more of restricting that type of development. So how does that work hand in hand to be able to make developers want to come in sure. to Bloomington, but still have those restrictions that are more reality?
Yeah, in a way, maybe it's easy to describe and hard to do. We want to be in a city where investors want to come, where people with office space want to use, be in our city. We're a terrific, vibrant, active city. We want development, but we want the right development. I mean, that's easy to say, right? That we want good development. We don't want development that will diminish the community. And that's what this is all about. We're working very hard to create a new office, energy, and ecosystem in the Trades District that will focus on significantly expanding downtown office space, encouraging growth and vitality among our new economy, if you will. We're also encouraging significant housing investment downtown and around the city, but it's got to be the right kind. I say over and over how important affordable housing is in this most expensive housing market. We have to make sure we get new housing, both rental and ownership, but it's got to be the right kind, got to be in the right place. And that, of course, some of that's in the eye of the beholder. Somebody may like one building across town, but they don't like it next to them. And somebody across town may say the same thing. I don't want it here. I want it where you are. As a community, we have to wrestle with that. But we're growing. 1,000 people a year are added to Bloomington. We're a great city that people want to be in, and that's a good thing. We just have to manage that growth right. And as you indicated, it's not just in the city of Bloomington, city limits. It's all around us too. It's in the areas just outside city limits, in our counties, in our whole region. And I actually think it may be interesting to develop kind of a regional approach to affordable housing, which I look forward to exploring with some other folks.
Yeah, and you you just mentioned before we started that you have a meeting with Mayor Linup on Thursday, which is a joint type of venture in looking to how to develop the Trades District.
Yes, Mayor Linup of Columbus and I have met a couple times specifically on this linkage we're looking at and we'll be announcing Thursday that's focused on the new economy. I'm really pleased that, you know, Bloomington and Columbus are two different cities, different cultures in some ways, but both full of energetic and creative and vibrant people. And what we're doing, I think, and we'll be talking about Thursday, is creating some more linkages between the two cities, which I think will help both of us.
And is that what the meeting on, there's a meeting in Nashville, right, on Thursday?
We expect to meet Thursday morning in Nashville and talk about the plans together, which I encourage folks to pay attention to.
Yeah. Lastly, just any updates on the city budget? I know that you're still crafting and putting that together, right?
Yes, that's a lot of work. We will be going back to City Council in a couple weeks for the votes on that. The budget is it's the most important policy document that we have. We're investing in some new things like an after-hours ambassador and a social worker in the police department and some more non-badged officers in the police department who will be just creating greater and greater linkage on the public safety. We're continuing investment in the parks and investment in the sanitation department, and it's a lot of new investing in our employees. One thing I'm really proud of, this budget now gets us to 1.5% of payroll is designated for training and development. When I took office, it was 0.5%, so we've tripled that. We're really investing in our people.
What else? Anything else you'd like to add to today's show?
Just get out there, ride your bikes, ride the scooters, enjoy the waning days as fall, beautiful fall weather comes, and enjoy Bloomington.
And football Saturdays too, right?
Yes, indeed. 3-0 so far.
Yeah,
that's a good start.
How about that? Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Joe.